Our reading is from a book in the Old Testament, Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To whom wisdom and instruction, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I just realized that I've started in chapter 1, and we'll move to chapter 3 now. My son, we read at the beginning that it was the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. And he's saying here, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It talks in verse 3 of mercy and truth. And it talks in verse 5 of trusting in the Lord. And in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, we were on holiday last week, away down in the south coast. And some years ago, when we were younger, we used to go down there almost every year with our family when they were just youngsters. And in these days, we went down in a oneer and came back in a oneer. But nowadays, we do it in stages. And this was a holiday with the family, but they went in their own way down in a oneer. But we took our time and had a couple of stop-offs. And on the way back, we did the same. And we decided that we would make use of our time in coming back over the 2 days, indeed the 3 days, for we started off on the Saturday, we stayed over on the Saturday night, we moved on the Sunday, stayed over on the Sunday night, and then arrived back home on the Monday. These are days when we have so many new gadgets on the scene, half of which I know nothing about. And there's iPods and MP3s, and there's all types of mobile phones that get sophisticated in various ways. Helen has a phone, but I don't have a mobile phone. But there's another thing, a sat-nav, that folk have nowadays for their cars. And if you've got one of the the big models. You'll maybe have it incorporated in it, one of the upmarket models. But the basic type that I travel in doesn't have a sat-nav. But my son thought, oh, it's time Dad had a sat-nav in his car. So that's what my Christmas present was last Christmas. And I'd never used it. So we thought, we'll use it this time on our way home because we're going to be visiting two or three places that we don't know well. So the sat-nav will come in useful. So we got it incorporated onto the dashboard, got it all working, and I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but just in case someone isn't, it's like a little television screen, and when you put in the postcode of where you're wanting to go, it'll direct you there, and when you switch it on, a little map comes up of where you actually are, and a little car, as you start moving, it moves, and it moves along the road, and it'll say such things as in 0.2 of a mile you'll come to a roundabout, take the second exit, and so on and so forth, until it eventually gets you to your destination. Great little thing. So, on the Saturday, we move off, and we're going up to a place that we want to visit for a particular reason. And, you know, over all these years past, I've had an excellent navigator. And she sits by my side with a map in front of her. Helen, of course. And she had worked out how we would get to this place. But we said, no, we'll go by the sat-nav. And it told us where to go off the motorway, what roads to go on. And then it came to a point when it says, turn right. And we came to the junction and we turned right. No, we didn't. We were about to when we realised that the road on the right was completely blocked. It was blocked because of roadworks. And it wasn't one of these situations where you have a red light and then you wait for the green light and then move on. It was completely blocked. So we moved on. And of course it recalculates because you haven't done what it told you to do. And it came to a roundabout and it said, take the third exit. Now I knew what was going to happen. We were just going to go round the roundabout, go back down the road we'd come, and it would say, turn left instead of right. So I said, no, I'm not doing that. We'll move on. And so we moved on and it recalculated again. And eventually we got very near to where we were wanting to go. And would you believe it? More roadworks with the road completely blanked off. And unfortunately, it was a road which led off the roundabout. So it got very tricky to know which diversion you should follow. So we decided we'll just switch it off. We'll go back to the motorway. We'll go on to the next junction and we'll come from the other end and I'll use the old navigator. And we got there from the motorway within about 10 to 12 minutes and we'd wasted an hour going via the sat-nav. Now you'll be wondering where this is all getting us in our message today. We went to where we were going to sleep that night. And then we set off in the morning. And we were going up to Bedford because a friend that we've known for a number of years moved to there to be nearer our family a short while ago. And we thought, it'll be nice to call in and see that friend in Bedford. And we phoned and everything was fine. And we were going to do that. But you know, near Bedford, there's a little village, and 51 years ago, I was taken there, and I went in through big gates into a particular place in my civvies, and I came back out a few days later in my blue RAF uniform. I don't know if it's the same place that Jim went to when he started off national service. And I thought, it'd be nice when we're so near it, just to go and have a look at it again. And so we went out to this little village. Unfortunately, I didn't see much that was there when I was there. It's mostly demolished as far as all the billets and all the things that were there. But the two big hangars are still there for the airships. That goes away back before even your aeroplanes. Enormous. And it was nice to see something you recognise from the past. Seeing Jim there, it reminds me, many years ago we met Jim at Calm, at the meeting there, because we had gone up from Bournemouth to Compton Bassett to see where I had been in the Air Force there. And here we discovered that Jim had been doing the same thing, and we met up at the meeting in Callan on that evening. But the point I want to bring to you is this. Just as we were going through the village, we saw a lovely little church, lovely little church building. And we stopped and we looked at it. And would you believe it? It was called the Howard Memorial Church. I thought, oh, lovely little church building, and it's named after me, Howard Memorial Church. But went up, looked at who was involved in it and all about it, and then we looked at what we used to call the wayside pulpit, where there's usually a text. And would you believe it? There was a picture of a dashboard with its windscreen and the steering wheel. And looking, as you stood before it, it was just as if you were driving the car and looking ahead to the road ahead. And here, just on the left of the dashboard, was a sat-nav. You know what a sat-nav stands for, of course? Satellite navigation, I think. And above were these words, and really, I couldn't believe it, to think that this was the first time that I'd ever used a sat-nav. And here's a message, God, in bold print, gives you better direction than sat-nav. Wasn't that amazing? Howard's Memorial Church, God gives you better direction than sat-nav. How true. For the sat-nav assumes that all roads will be clear and negotiable. But the all-knowing, the all-seeing God sees every situation of our lives at all times just as it is. Nothing takes him by surprise. He is not taken by surprise when obstacles are found in the way. And that's a message for all of us. The sat-nav, it's good for some things, but it's not necessarily going to get you to your place that you're wanting to get to, your destination, if there's other obstacles in the way that it knows nothing about. But with God guiding and directing your lives, there's absolutely nothing can happen that he doesn't know about and can take care of and can guide us in his ways. Later that same day, we went to visit that friend who had moved to Bedford, and we had to get to her house in a place that we had never been to before, so we set the sat-nav on again. This time, as well as putting the postal code in, we put the house number in, because that takes you not just to the street, but to the very house. And you know, she lives quite near a river that runs through Bedford. And the easiest way to get to her house is along the road by the river and then up. But what we didn't know before we went, and what the sat-nav didn't know, was there was a river festival on that day. And when we came to the road, it was shut off. But you know, it recalculated, and it eventually took us right to the door. So, it was successful on that occasion. We read there in Proverbs chapter 3 about the Lord directing our paths. We read, in all our ways acknowledge Him. Proverbs has quite a lot to teach us about directions and about ways. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, we might think we're in the right direction. We might think that we're going the right way, but it might not be. And chapter 14 and verse 12 kind of emphasizes that. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, that's serious, isn't it? There is a way that seemeth right. You're confident. You think you're on the right way. As far as you're concerned, you are in the right way. But what does the Word of God say? It says, there is a way which seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know, when you turn over to chapter 16 and verse 25, it's almost word for word. It says again, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you see how the Word of God is emphasizing the fact that there is a way that seems right, but it's not? But not only is it not the right way, it's a way that leads to eternal destruction. How sad to be on a way in your life that you think is fine and good, and it's only taking you towards God's judgment. So there it is, emphasized over and over again. In chapter 16 and verse 9 it says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, when the Lord directs your steps, your way goes by the board. You go His way. And that is where we should be aiming. The Lord directing our paths. And it's only, as we read earlier, when we acknowledge Him in all our ways, that that is going to happen. The psalmist in David, in Psalmist David, in Psalm 37, he says this, verse 23. David says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Delighting in the way of the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we in God's way, or are we still going our own way? That's the question. And then back to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So Proverbs is emphasizing to us that naturally we think we're on the right way. In our own sight, in our own eyes, we think we're all right. But we're not, unless it's the Lord who's directing us. The desire of the psalmist In Psalm 119 was this. Away at the beginning, verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Oh, that my ways. He had a desire that God's ways, the Lord's ways, were directing him in the right paths. Because the right paths are obeying the commands and the statutes of God. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul didn't only look to the Lord for that spiritual direction in life, but he looked to the Lord for physical direction. It's right when we trust in the Lord to trust him for all our daily blessings and movements, and to seek his help when we go out on the road, and to seek journeying mercies from him, and to seek his guidance and direction in the everyday things of life, as well as the important spiritual aspects of our life. If you look at 1 Thessalonians, when Paul was talking to the Thessalonians through his epistle, in chapter 2, towards the end, he says in verse 17, But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, whereof we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul and those with him were wanting to meet with these Thessalonians, and they were unable to on that particular occasion. But in chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, Now God himself, and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. So God himself, and the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's looking to direct his way to meet up with these saints at Thessalonica once again. But we want, before we just finish, to look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 7, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching that great sermon, it was at the beginning of his time when he came out before men and taught amongst them and did the wonderful miracles amongst them. And at that part of his life, he spoke this wonderful sermon, and the number of subjects in it is terrific. Starting off with the Beatitudes, blessed, and so on. But in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7, he suddenly says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I wonder what the folks thought as he said these words. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's what we were told in Proverbs. The way that leads to destruction. The way that leads to death. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus is saying, there are two ways. The sat-nav can't take you two ways. It's got to work it out the way it works. But there are two ways, and you're either in one or the other as far as God's concerned. Which one are you on? The broad way or the narrow way? And then in John chapter 14, we're away towards the end of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And he's speaking with his own disciples. And he says, "Whither I go, ye know." Jesus is going on a journey. He's going somewhere. "Whither I go, ye know. And the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What could be more definite than that? You want one day to be in heaven? You want one day to see the Lord Jesus? You want one day to be in God's presence? The one that through faith in Christ we can call Father? There is only one way, and it's through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To find ourselves on the way to life, we must come to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and trust in him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Then all our paths will be directed by the Lord, who knows exactly what lies before us, and will be able to fully guide us through life and bring us to the Father and to our eternal rest. But we have to abandon our own way and our own perception of it. Indeed, turn from it. That indeed is what repentance is. Turning from the old life to the new. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55. He says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." A God who has mercy, a God who pardons. So to summarize it all up, what's our direction in life? Are we trusting in the Lord with all our heart? Are we in all our ways acknowledging him? Are we seeking the Lord while he may be found? Are we calling upon him while he is near? You know, you might say, what does it mean, seek the Lord while he may be found? If you or I die today, the opportunity is gone. If Christ comes within the next hour, the opportunity will have gone. But we have the opportunity now, at this moment, of placing our faith and trust in the only one who can lead us in life, through death, into the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that it is possible for each one of us to know thee, the God who created all things, as our Father in heaven. And it is possible for each one of us to be guided by thyself through life, on into eternity, and to know the wonders of thy salvation each day that we live. May it be that each one of us will listen to thy word and fully trust in thee and in thy Son, while it is yet possible to do so. While it is thy great day of salvation, O God, we pray. And now we just want to thank thee for that way that thou hast made possible through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of knowing thy salvation through faith. For thou art a God who blesses us because of thy grace towards us in the giving of thy Son to die for us on the cross. And bless us now as we part, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen.